Welcome back. Welcome back to Let Me Get My Headphones. It's Jace in the place. We just got out the Ox and I'm about to pass it in the All Artist Studio, but this is a special All Artist Studio. We are interviewing a very viral sensation that's going into, like, you know, the rebirth of Big and R&B. If you haven't seen him on TikTok, I would like to say paying an homage to Common's Come Close, because that's what I really felt when I was watching. He has one of the richest voices that I've heard this side of the Mississippi. And I'm really happy to have him on because he has an album coming out March 8th. And we're super excited to talk about it. Mr. Dende, how you doing, man?
Hello. I'm good. I'm tired. I'm moving around, but I'm great. I'm happy and I'm alive. And that's all I could ask for.
That's awesome, bro. That's awesome. Well, first and foremost, like, we're so happy for you to be here. First artist that's on the All Artist Studio, Let Me Get My Headphones, has an upcoming album. We're going to talk about it today. We're going to talk about your upbringing, where you come from. But the first thing we always got to ask is, you know, how you doing today, man? Like, you know, how's everything? Like, how you feeling?
Yeah. Today, I feel really good. I'm on tour right now, and we did Chicago last night. I've never performed in Chicago ever, and we did a sold out show at Shuba's. So that's congrats, a crazy feeling to come into today. Thank you. To come into today and be like, yo, we really just did that last night. It's a crazy feeling. I'm pretty happy right now.
The day after is crazy. Yeah. Always crazy. Well, congratulations. So,
thank you.
And so where we want to start is, let's start with the name, right? So the first thing I saw when I saw Dende, I was like, the Dragon Ball Z reference. Like, and so I wanted to ask you, first, is that your real name? So it is it. So I want to ask, what was the inspiration around the name? What drew you to Dende?
So first of all, you're right. It is a Dragon Ball reference. I actually have Dende tatted on me right here.
Hey. And y'all told me, okay, so for our listeners, and Dende doesn't know this, but I'm a big anime head, so and I'm the anime watcher of the show.
Yeah.
And Jay is as well. Javon is the novice. Out of us three, but he knows some Dragon Ball Z references. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, our minds almost became alike. So I'm very dope tattoo.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a lot of tattoos, and most of them are anime tattoos. I have like Sharingan from Naruto. I have a lot of stuff, but the name Dende, I got drawn to that character basically because, as you know, Dragon Ball is about the Dragon Balls basically, and how your wishes can't come true without these balls. And later on, when Dende gets introduced, like, he's not only a healer, which I feel like my music does to people, with some of the more introspective songs, he's not only a healer, but he's like a really overlooked character that's really, really important to the plot. Like, if he didn't exist, nobody's wishes would come true because the Dragon Balls don't exist. And that's right. The whole show. So I kind of feel like sometimes I do be getting overlooked. So that's kind of why I chose that character. I just identified him. He's not very strong, but he's really important.
I'm fucking with that. I like
That's deep.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that got some meat to it. It did. Right. So you're from Katy, Texas, in the Houston area. Obviously, there are a lot of massive talents that have come out of Houston. Tell us, like, has Texas influenced your music creation process at all?
I don't really know about the creation process. I feel like it kind of influenced how I move around, performing and stuff like that. But I don't know about actually making the music, because I'm the type of person that I don't really go to the studio that much. I mostly record everything in my room. Like, everything on that EP I just dropped and everything on the album was recorded in a bedroom. So I kind of, like, I wouldn't say it affects how I like make music, but it definitely affects how I like approach the music industry. Like, I'm a very do it, like, get it how you live type of person. And that came from just throwing random shows at like barbershops and clothing stores in Houston. Like, everybody in Houston is kind of like self-sufficient and let's just do it ourselves type of people.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Can I ask a follow-up question real quick, Jace? That
yeah, sure.
With you having the vibe of having music come from the bedroom rather than the studio, what does that feel like? What does that look like for you to have? Because most people are working from home right now, and like still like you are actually making this like a part of the DNA of the artist that you are. So what does that process look like for you to have creating music in your bedroom?
Honestly, it just feels more comfortable for me. I can go to the studio and record it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Just, we know that. We definitely.
It just feels more comfortable. Like I like being in my space. I made my space a place where I feel safe in. So, to be able to make my best stuff inside of my room, not only first of all saves a lot of money, but second of all,
travel
it's just,
too.
I don't know. It's more personal to me. To be able to just do it in my space and feel comfortable. Because sometimes when you record like a scratch track, for example, like just a demo or something, that demo, you're not going to capture that emotion again if you try to re-record it.
Right.
So like sometimes I stick with the original track just because it was in my room and I felt comfortable there.
Wow. That's nice. You can really tell that from your music, how vulnerable you are and like that it comes from a place that is comfortable being able to tell that story. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's really dope. Makes me think about like certain songs that I've heard, like what space you were in when you wrote them, particularly in your room. Like Better Than Him sounds like she just walked out the door and you went straight to the studio. So you went straight to the bedroom. Like, I gotta get this out now.
I gotta talk.
Right.
I gotta talk
to these niggas.
Nah, for real. That's really what it is though. It's more easy too, because it's just like you said, something can happen. I could be like, man, I could do some crazy, or I can write a song right now and record it right now. So it's just like it's also a lot easier to just be in my house.
Mm-hmm.
All right, right. So your music influences range from John Legend, Smino, Saba, Purity Ring, Passion, Pitt, and James Blake. Now I'm a big John Legend fan. Like I'm cheating John Legend era John Legend. Like that first album when he really wasn't shit. But also like I'm a big fan of like other people. Like Smino to me is like one of the most talented artists that's out right now. Just everything he does, from his voice to like the production with Monty Booker, is insane. And then Saba, of course, like that Chicago sound that Pivot Gang is creating, like Care For Me, like literally saved my life, like in 2018. It's still a really important album to me. So my question was, like, out of those three artists, JL, Smino, and Saba, what's your favorite song from each of the three?
Ooh, man, okay. John Legend, there's one that I don't even know the name of it. I think it's called Dreams. But
it is. I know exactly.
Yeah.
There's not a record. There's not an actual full recording of it. He only did it live. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw Great him. Song. So the first time I ever saw anybody perform, it was my mom took me to the rodeo in Houston, like when I was really young. And I saw him perform that. And I was a child. Mm. And then that came like a part of that song came out on a project like years.
Yeah,
later.
It did.
I was looking for it. And
I
want to
say it's Love in the Future that it came out on, and it was like only
it had like a rose on it or something.
Right. Yeah. Love in the Future. That's actually it. The first time I heard that song, I heard it live, but it was a recording of it. And I don't know how I was searching for it and found it. And this is like not Napster, but LimeWire day, like LimeWire days. And I remember, like, I was like, why has he never released this? And I remember him saying, song is beautiful. I remember the audio version I heard of it. He was like, I wrote this song for somebody else, but I liked it, so I kept it.
I feel him.
Yeah, it's a banger, dog.
I feel him. When I tell you, when I heard that, I have been to the rodeo one time in my life, and I was a child, and that's when I heard that song.
we gotta value the rodeos in our community.
Gotta value the rodeos. What about Smino and Saba? Because that's tough as well.
That's hard. Smino and Saba are gonna be a little bit harder. I gotta look.
You know,
if I'm gonna go all time favorite for Smino, it's probably gonna be either Wild Hours Roses or Glass Flows with Raven Lanae.
I really like
both of those songs.
Wild
Hours Roses is great.
Such a smooth song.
Yeah. And then for Saba, it's probably going to be... It's going to be Busy Sirens. Intro, the intro to Care For Me is amazing.
Yeah, like...
I got to see that tour when he came to Houston for the Care For Me tour.
Yeah.
Amazing. It was amazing. He had like the stage set look like his grandma's kitchen.
It was
great. I loved it so much.
I really appreciate the Mind's vocals on that. At the end of it, when you hear Sirens, like the switch up of the song is like one of the coldest transitions to start off an album. And it's like, you don't even know that somebody's about to come in singing. I thought it was Saba at first. And I was like, wait, this nigga is saying too.
Yo, like the crazy thing about that is the Mind was at our show last night. And he dapped me up after and was like, yo, you're fired. And then I kept walking and I was like, was that the Mind? And then I went back and I was like, are you the Mind? He was like, yeah. I was like, yo, I'm a huge fan.
I love your music. That again. That crazy. Let me run that back real quick.
Man. That was crazy.
Look, yeah.
So shout out to him.
Yeah, shout out. Switching gears real quick. So we found your music, surprisingly, unsurprisingly, on TikTok, which we talk about TikTok a lot on the podcast and how it has helped independent artists. But your single, Better Than Him, which is hot topic right now, has spread like a wildfire. Got a few questions, but the first question is, how have you adjusted to that new audience, and especially being on tour right now?
I feel like all it did was... So I always had a pretty balanced fan base, which was women and men, like, and women that really love R&B. But that this past EP just opened me up completely for like a more women centric fan base. So it's just honestly, it hasn't been that hard. It's just my team being like, hey, don't tweet that.
Got it. I love that.
Say that again. Say that again.
We love a taste device.
It'd be crazy.
We're definitely going to clip that.
Shout out to the team.
Hey.
Don't keep that in the drafts, please.
Yeah, don't tweet that one. I'd be like, all right, y'all got me.
Don't send that. Send this.
Yeah. Let's workshop this. Hold on. Give me that back and take this. Go ahead. Keep going.
No. Oh, I was just gonna say, but like for tour wise, it's just I can't really look at anybody in their eyes when I'm singing. Because I don't want them to try me after the show. I gotta look like a bug.
Look in the space.
Gotta keep the eyes blazing.
I'm trying to tell you, my DMs have been disgusting. So like, I gotta keep it copacetic.
We love that, actually.
I can't imagine. Like, I'm living vicariously through you, my boy.
Right, got to. But follow up to that, and still on the vein of like TikTok as a tool for artists, like how has that become a part of the way that you release music or think about releasing songs, and where do you think that tool is for artists?
TikTok wise, I've always really been a fan of TikTok just because my algorithm is really messed up and I just see weird stuff all day. But for musicians, I think it's a really, really, really big opportunity for straight to consumer to just like blow your stuff up. I don't think it really has affected how I put music out,
but it
has affected what I push more when I see what gets traction. Like I don't make things with this is going to go crazy on TikTok in mind, but when we get like the content around it, we're making sure we're trying to make it seem like it's going to go crazy on TikTok.
Right.
Yeah, like something I noticed even about like the Better Than Him video, like the song is like 2 minutes, but the video is only really the bridge and the chorus, which I like because now you can actually consume that, because how I consumed that video was through scrolling on TikTok. And I was like, yo, I need to hear the rest of this. Where's the rest of it? So well played. Very well played. Like,
I agree. Thank you. Shout out to the team, because it's not all me.
Shout out to Noah.
Shout out to Colin. He does our social media and and just everything digital. It's amazing. He makes those videos. He cuts those videos up. He basically runs my TikTok. I ain't gonna lie to you. I respond to comments and stuff, but he posts because I don't know how to use that.
I feel honored because that means you responded to me when I was like,
"Just now, get it back." Oh, precious.
He bringing that feeling back.
And shout out to Miz. And shout out to Miz because he's the one that puts stuff in. He's the A&R. He makes sure that the music is like packaged correctly.
Right.
Shout out to the A&Rs for real. Yeah. Shout out to the A&Rs.
So we talk a lot about begging R&B. Jace can talk forever about begging R&B. And you also talked about having a pretty much a female-centric fan base. Like, how does that feel? Like, first of all, being one of the faces of begging R&B and then now having this fan base that has expanded to primarily women.
It kind of feels crazy because I feel like I'm just speaking my mind.
Sure.
I just want my girl back.
I just be speaking my mind.
I am really better than him. What do you
mean? I truly believe I'm better than him. So I was just like, the whole EP is just like stuff that I really felt. Like Sensually is a wedding song. Like it's like I feel like I could marry this person. Definitely. Flowers is just me like chronicling just like everyday things that I want to do. Like I want to buy somebody flowers. I want to take them on a date. Like I want to do these things. So seeing that translate to people that like actually want to hear it or experience it is really cool. But the drawback is that sometimes they think I'm talking about them. So, you know,
sure.
Throw it back to, I can't look at nobody in the eyes.
And parasocial relationships, right, man. And bro, you be in them, you be like, you're from a city primarily where like every woman looks good. Yeah. So like when I heard Round Trip specifically, I was like, was he in Georgia the whole time? Because I've been in said club and I've definitely felt like you don't need to be working here. I can help you out, we can get you a loan
we can get you a loan.
They ain't sending niggas to jail for PPP loans. So I got some left.
Oh man.
Nah, but you know, like, and just to add on to Jay, you know, typically when we think about, like, I know we laugh when we talk about begging R&B, but you know, so much of R&B for like the last 5 years has been like, and when we talk on the show about music, I always say that music generations is every 5 years. That's why I have a lot of respect for musicians that make it 10 years in the game. If you can spit out, you know, like for Rihanna, for example, like 10 years. Nearly 10 albums, like that is crazy. That's a crazy stat, right? And so like thinking about the begging R&B like goats that we remember, Joe, maybe the Dirty Mac Hall of Fame, you got 112, you got Silk, you have all these, you got all these people from the 90s, you know, Jodeci crying on the mic, you know what I'm saying, Usher crying on the mic, and so many people have longed for that, and we've gone, and this is no diss to the toxic R&B because we love the toxic R&B too, but it is really refreshing to hear somebody, especially from male R&B singers, because we hear from the girls all the time. We always big up the girls in R&B in the hip-hop space because they're really doing the thing with from all facets of like the entertainment part, from acting to commercials and all the and brands and all these things. But for male R&B in particular, it's good seeing new faces that are, you know, singing to women passionately about, yo, I want you back. I know I was toxic, but I went to therapy and, you know, I processed that.
Right. That's what it was. Right, that's why the girls be in the audience like that. You ask for this, and then you ask for this. That's why they be like that.
I'm just speaking my truth.
So let's talk about the next project, right? 95 Civic. I've been listening to, you know, your first album, your EP. Listen to Nightmares. Now we listen to Swerve. Like Happy Man was very interesting because you told a really lot of like dope stories, like
you
from
did, yeah.
the track about being broke,
phone number. I was like, no, you didn't.
I was like, did Matthew sign off on this?
Did he clear? Dark skin.
Nope.
play all of this for you. Shoot.
Not like it, there's such beautiful songs. So like, talk to us about the evolution from, you know, Happy Man now to 95.6. This is going to be your second album. And especially coming off the success of like the EP, like, you know, people obviously have a better understanding of who you are. If they've had a chance to like pull from your previous album, but like, what can they expect from 95 Civic with Nightmares and now Swerve? Because it sounds like we getting into a breakup.
Yeah. So starting from the Happy Man, that was a very introspective project. It was basically just chronicling like the sadness inside of my own happiness. Like, I'm a very animated person. I'm a very happy person. I make jokes all the time, but it's also just showing like, yo, I'm this person outwardly, and I also really am that person. But like, inside of that is a whole lot of stuff that y'all don't see. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted to express that. And then Before We Crash is basically just chronicling like this love story with this person. A lot of people don't know that I actually was engaged.
Wow.
In 2021, I was engaged. I am not engaged anymore, and I'm not married.
Is this the first time that you like breaking this in any interview?
No.
I was about to say, I'm like, are we getting it fresh fresh off the branch? Like, is this, are you squeezing the juice time here?
I just broke up with her. I just broke up with her right now on this podcast.
Done.
I was engaged, and basically 95 Civic is about the aftermath of that. Mm. So Swerve is actually the second song on the album. And Swerve, basically, if you listen to it, like the car crashes at the end. This whole car thing is basically supposed to represent the relationship. And we're traveling in it. But the second song on the album, it crashes. So basically, it's done with. And the rest of the album is just my separate emotions following this breakup and the different phases that I went through. Like, Nightmares is me like not being able to sleep, like, because I literally couldn't sleep. I got to the point where, like, we were still living together, and I was sleeping on the couch. And even when she left, I was still sleeping on the couch. Like, I was still sleeping on the couch even when she was gone. Mm-hmm. Like,
you hitting close to home, because I too have been a man living in a house with someone that maybe that we've already broken up, but we, you know, still in there.
It's not a good feeling. So we go from there to where she leaves, and it's just like, I'm just heartbroken, like basically depressed. We get to the song Block Me, where it's basically just saying, which that song's already out actually. But basically me just saying, I wish you like happiness, but I don't even want to see you post nothing. Like, just block me, because I'm not disciplined enough not to look. So if you look, if you block me, then that'll save me a lot of trouble. Then we get to the part where I'm just like, basically the hell with you. Like, it's just like, you basically dipped on me, so I don't really care if you're happy or not. We get to a point where I'm just like, you're still not answering my calls, you're still not talking to me, you're being very selfish, I'm gonna be selfish as well. Then we get to the whole phase, which, you know, sometimes we always have those where it's just like, well, if she not really trying to get back with me, I'm gonna just fuck everybody. I don't know if I can say that word on here, but I just did, so
it's
I apologize.
Okay. It's okay.
I'm just go be a hoe, honestly. And then we just get to like a realization point. So really, this whole album is basically just the emotions like right before and the months after this breakup that I went through. And Before We Crash is just leading up to it.
I'm liking this.
Yeah.
You know, we love a good breakup. We love a good breakup album.
We love a good
breakup. We love a good breakup album.
Like, no bro, context. We don't need context or an album. We just love a breakup.
That's why we had this interview, just to get a little bit of context of what's going on.
Just to get a little bit of context, yeah. That's really great. I'm messy.
Yeah, we're excited to hear that, and glad that you're able to share it with us.
No, for sure.
Yeah, we really can't wait to listen to the album, man. Like we've said, it's been really a pleasure to listen to your growth, like from like we said, from Happy Man to now, like the introspection. Like I was telling him right before you got on, it reminds me a lot of IDK's last album, with the sound. And I was also saying Saba. And then when you said that was one of your influences, when we were doing research, you're like, definitely can hear that.
A happy man after I heard Care From You.
And listen, that's probably why I like it so much.
It's easy to listen to too. I love music that is very easy to listen to.
But yeah, like this is, you know, it's really cool seeing. I think the cool thing about watching people going from making LPs to LP to LP is like seeing the growth of the concept, the creation concept for artists. Like really diving into telling a story. Like I'm excited to hear that story. I identify with that story of like, how do you process a breakup and what are those five stages of grief? So this is super exciting, but we're going to shift gears. We're going to do something a little bit more lighthearted. We're not going to talk about breakups no more. we're not going to talk about all these thirsty women who, you know, saying some you wild
gaze in their eyes.
Can't look in their eyes. Right. We got a rapid fire game. We play with every guest. This is a competition. We're trying to see who can answer the most questions within the 45 second period. So do what you got to do to prepare. Do we have the clock ready?
Yeah, we got the clock ready. So we are, tell them the instructions again.
See how many questions you can answer within 45 seconds.
So we bumped up the time to 45 seconds because production was like, we're getting complaints that artists aren't getting enough questions.
It's too much
quickly.
Pressure.
It's too much pressure. So we're trying to leave that. So, so 45 seconds is on the clock, starting now.
Okay. What is your favorite color?
Blue.
Finish this sentence. I can't leave home without
my laptop.
Most interesting tattoo?
I have a SpongeBob flower right here.
Apple Maps or Google Maps?
Waze.
Most exciting part of touring?
Eating the food from the different cities. I love that.
What is your zodiac sign?
Taurus.
Pick a number 1 through 10.
9.
What is your go-to pizza order?
Cheese or buffalo chicken.
Who is your inspiration?
My mom.
Name your favorite artist of any genre.
Frank Ocean.
Okay. That was 10. That was the most we've had.
That was the most we've had.
Blew it out the water.
You did blow it out the water. You did blow it out the water. The last score was 7 or no, not even.
Like, it was less than that. It was like 5.
Put me on Family Feud.
That's what we prepare you for. That's what we prepare you for. But this has been such a privilege to have you in and really get to talk to you, man. Like, we are very excited about your future. We love your music. And from a listener, a consumer, keep going. Before we get out of here, we got to know what you're looking at, what you're watching. I know you're on tour, so like, what in those like 5 minutes of downtime, 20 minutes of downtime, what you watching?
I got a lot more than 20 minutes of downtime.
Okay, all right.
I'm watching. I watch anime, so I'm watching. I caught up to One Piece, so I'm watching that on Sunday. I'm watching My Hero Academia on Sunday, and I'm also watching Last of Us on Sundays.
Last of Us, right?
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that game too. And then
best game Walking Dead ever.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Like I've never owned a PlayStation in my life, and I've beat Last of Us 1 and 2. Like, I've never owned a PlayStation. I love that game so much.
I was gonna say, if you for this season, bro, make AOT's Attack on Titans back in a couple of days, like in a few days.
I didn't know that.
When you do, if you got Crunchyroll, check out High Card. And make sure that you watch Trigun Stampede this year. Like, those two, sure. Really, really, really good. Hit me in the DMs on IG. Let me know what you think. For sure.
I'm going to write them down. You said High Card.
Yeah, High Card.
And Trigun, what?
Trigun Stampede. I'm trying to think of any others that I'm watching. My hero right now is just, that arc is absolutely amazing.
They're going crazy, ridiculous.
Like, everything is. Oh, Bungo Stray Dogs! Please watch Bungo Stray Dogs. Like,
that's older, isn't it? That's older.
Older, but they're on season 4 right now. Okay. Yeah, season four is out, and Buddy Daddies. If you really liked Spy Family, Buddy Daddies is just as fun. Sure. Just imagine Spy Family, but two dudes, and it's hilarious, like, to say the least. I really enjoy it, but man, we really enjoyed you, dog. Like, before we get out of here, you got to obviously shameless plug yourself. Tell the people where they can find you. Tell people the name of the new album, and tell us obviously where you gonna be at next on tour. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, like I said before, I'm Dende. I'm dropping an album March 8th. It's called 95 Civic, and I never mentioned him this whole podcast, and I feel crazy, but my producer, the best producer in the whole world, Billy Blunt, executive produced both these projects, so make sure you go show love to Billy Blunt too. You can follow me on Instagram at I Am Dende. Follow me on Twitter at Dende Is Me. And next city we're in is Atlanta, and we're there on March 8th. So
on March 8th, when the album drops.
When the album drops, we performing.
Is it sold out? Tell Noah I need a ticket. Tell Noah I need it. Because I'm you know, that's my city.
That's his city.
Oh, word. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's sold out yet, because they don't tell me nothing. But I'll ask him.
Yeah, tell Noah, let me get a press pass. I just get in the car.
Right, as you should. I just get in the car.
It's such a good line.
That's the most honest thing. I just get in the car, dog.
Letting you go, wrapping up. Again, everybody has given their sincere appreciation for your music. And once again, yo, keep going, keep doing it. Come back to let me get my headphones and tell us what we get in our headphones for next.
For sure.
And really, congratulations. Good luck on the rest of the tour. And we'll keep up with you. So on that note, y'all say bye.
Yeah.
Later, man. Bye, y'all. Bye.